Greetings from the satellite of Buzz, high above the Earth. If you've ever wondered to yourself, what if Joe Don Baker, star of Mitchell, were a barbarian? Well, we've got the movie for you. If you ever thought to yourself, what if Chewbacca were albino and utterly without charm? We've got the movie for you. Oh, and also, we've got Movie Sign.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, boys and ghouls. There are so many Crypt Keeper references in this episode.
Start right off.
I had to get right into it. Welcome to Mystery Science Theater 3000. We are indeed here at the satellite of Buzz. I am Christian Blatt at Christian DMZ. Joined, stranded alongside me as always, joined by Andrew Mena at Andrew Mena.
That's me. Those are the things I was going to say.
And now you don't have them.
Now I don't have to. Now I can say whatever I want. Bananas, pancakes.
And you saying that
chilaquiles.
You saying that was bananas.
So uh-huh.
That's how it worked out.
Nice.
And you should always remember, the show has its own Twitter at MST3KABTV.
Tweet at us. Tweet hard. Tweet fast.
Tweet long. Tweet hard. Tweet often.
Tweet often.
And for those of you joining us live on YouTube, as we are every Friday at noon Pacific, please chat right now. But if you're watching after the fact, leave us some comments. If you're listening on iTunes, like, comment, rate. Oh, you gotta rate us.
Subscribe. You also gotta subscribe.
Yeah, y'all gotta subscribe. And however many stars they have, just go ahead and give us every star.
I think five is them.
If you can give us 10, go ahead.
You should give us 10.
If you can stuff the ballot box.
Find a way to get us 10.
I think we can all find a way. One day. Anyway, so I've got my gigantic laptop here because before the show started, I was working on something very important, Andrew.
Yes, you were.
Even though we're stranded here, I'm hoping that we're going to get back down to Earth before too long because I bought my tickets to Mystery Science Theater 3000, the tour!
Pew, 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 pew!
Tickets went on sale today.
Very exciting.
At, I believe, noon local time around the country.
If you're watching this live, that means you too can be one of the first to sit right next to Christian at
That's
this
right.
show.
I bought out the whole theater so everybody can
Everyone
just join
come
me
sit with them.
That's not true. I bought two tickets.
No, for Tim and someone.
Someone. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know anyone who likes the show, so no. I can't imagine
can't
who
imagine.
I would ask. Yeah. We met Tim Allen. I wonder.
We did.
Yeah, I wonder if he's a fan. You know, he's got a lot more free time all of a sudden. Anyway, but go to mst3k.com/tour. That's right. They didn't ask me to do that. I'm letting you know. If you're a fan of the show, you should go see it live.
Yes.
That will definitely be a fun night. And they're doing two nights at Comic-Con. So I can only imagine.
Oh, man.
I know. But I'm like, well, I don't live in San Diego.
Are they in Comic-Con or are they doing it like in San Diego?
Well, it's in San Diego.
Okay.
It's not going to be like in Hall H. I think it's at a big theater there.
I was going to say, if I can get there.
If you can get there, that's
I like the San Diego venues.
Those are your people.
Those are my people.
Yeah.
They've got great burritos.
Maybe they're at the Spreckles Theater downtown.
Ooh, the Spreckles or perhaps the Lyceum.
Anyway, I feel the need to vamp so much at the top of the show because these were not easy movies to watch.
No. They were fun. You know what? In retrospect, they were really fun movies to watch. I like to refresh. Like, I watched these movies early in the week, this week, which is different for me. So I wanted to refresh earlier today.
Uh-oh.
So I rewatched parts of them.
Yikes.
It was more enjoyable the second time.
Both of them?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
First one even more so, especially with the knowledge of what the second one is.
Yeah.
But that said, that second one, still a lot of fun.
So the movies we're going to talk about are, of course, The Wizards of the Lost Kingdom 1
mm-hmm.
and 2.
And 2.
And as they point out, 2 has literally nothing to do with 1. It's not even like Mannequin 2 on the Move where they have the same guy, Meshach Taylor, who's like, I think this has happened before. And that's basically all they did in that.
That's the only acknowledgement in that movie. By the way,
Meshach Taylor would have been great in this movie as any or all of the roles. He's a very talented actor. But he did not. You know, good for him, though.
Yeah.
But boy, did we get David Carradine. But we're getting ahead of ourselves,
yes.
Aren't we?
Yes. Let's talk about the first movie first.
Yeah. But before we do, I have a comment that was left on our YouTube page.
Ooh, share with us.
Duper Super, love the username, writes, Capsule! So I appreciated that.
Capsule!
Because that was a lot of fun last week.
We
capsuled to you. All right, so Wizards of the Lost World. Let's talk a little bit about the movie before we dive in. Yeah. it kind of says it all.
So I got to be honest, like, this is the kind of movie that I think if I had watched it at like an 11, a 13 even, I would have loved it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's that genre.
I think I would have been like, oh, hey, I could be a bad wizard too.
Yeah. I'm kind of a garbagey boy.
Yeah.
I too could be redeemed in some fashion.
I lack any discernible talents.
Yeah, people
I could probably be a wizard.
I could also be a chosen one for some reason.
All I need is a magic ring that I drop.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
Don't get until the end of the movie.
I lose things all the time, so I also really connect to
that. I've lost 5 magic rings in the last calendar year.
Man, no one should send you to Mordor.
Well, that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
Been there, and it did not go well.
Been there, not back again.
Yeah, not back again.
Yeah. But I just thought that the first one especially, I thought Kor, the characters in this one I found a lot more endearing, especially after a second watch.
Well, yeah. And it's hard to not compare the two, you know?
And there are absolutely moments in this, there are weird moments of sanity.
Yeah.
And like, kind of, I want to say beauty in this movie, which is weird.
Well, I would like to hear where you found beauty in this
movie. I found beauty in that one line where he's like, where the little boy goes, Kor, let's go
Simon.
Wake up. Simon goes, let's go wake up the dead people. And he's like, if they're great warriors, let them sleep. Like,
they are deserving
Which
is absolutely
right. And they even point out, that is
that is not what you should do. Yeah. You should not wake up the great warriors. But yeah. Simon... What a jerk.
Oh, and he does. Refreshingly dignified response, Kor, is exactly what they said. And I was agreeing. I was like, wow, you're right. That was actually like, you're right. Please don't wake them up.
Let's talk about Kor. He is the reluctant hero that is definitely a cornerstone in so many movies. You know,
with dad bod.
The Han Solo type.
Sure.
But, you know, it's more episode 7 Han Solo than episode 4 Han Solo.
True.
And
he's very jaded.
Yeah, he's very... Yeah, this guy is very jaded. And I wanted to like the characters, but I found the kid super annoying.
Yes.
And
of course.
I think that Kor really would have been a bad guy if only that... What a terrible subplot that was.
Yeah.
The guy, the Cyclops that was, you know, ready to cook him. You know, which I say it out loud and it sounds even dumber.
Yeah.
However... I think he's just like, I guess he's very, very reluctant hero. He's also an accidental hero, which is another character type that you get a lot.
Oh, that Cyclops is so silly. And then the Cyclops is like
the
sister.
Wife. It's just such a bad gag. You know? It's just like, oh no.
This Cyclops isn't conventionally attractive to me at all.
I'm going to have your brother for dinner.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very silly.
And I just, I don't know what my least favorite thing is about this movie. It is not easy.
Yeah.
There's a lot to hate. Gulfax is, I believe, the name of the albino Chewbacca that I mentioned in the intro.
Easter Bunny without ears.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
When you have that kind of a character, contribute. Gulfax.
Do something.
Gulfax, this is on you. I'm talking to you because I know you're watching.
Yeah,
there's a reason you're not in the second movie. Because you weren't good enough.
It's true.
You know, they could have just put somebody else in that suit.
The execs made one good call. Yeah. Now it's getting rid of you.
No more Gulfax.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Everything's working. Let's get rid of Gulfax, though.
They definitely got some good jokes because of him. But,
yes, they did.
You know, sometimes it's less about the jokes and having to sit there and watch the movie.
Gosh.
The special effects, there were some good jokes about, my special effects are just as cheap as yours. Ha ha!
Ha-ha,
you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that
I can't
was really
wait
funny.
To see these two in the same shot.
Yeah, right. Which, of course, you never do. Yeah, that was very reminiscent of the Hydra from last week.
Yeah, from the Loves of Hercules, wasn't it?
Yeah. I believe the Many
Loves. Many Loves of Hercules.
But yeah, I mean, when we have Kor, one of the jokes they had about him was Twitchy Gordon Ramsay at your service.
That was straight
and
on.
Followed
I wrote that
up
down too.
Seconds later with prepare to face the wrath of Fat Sting.
Oh, I mean,
it's so brutal, but it's like, yeah, exactly.
Kind of
he's Twitchy Gordon Ramsay / Fat Sting, which made me just start to realize like, oh, Gordon Ramsay's just kind of old Sting.
I loved the commentary on, that's true. I love the commentary on the first fight sequence though, where trip, you're dead, flip, you're dead. Like that whole sequence. Fantastic.
Yeah. No. And
that's how we kill people.
The villain in this movie,
yeah.
Super creepy that he decides that, you know, the junior high girl is going to be his new wife.
Yep. I mean, that actor actually, like, played him as creepily as you kind of
hope
he needs to be.
Whatever was on the page, he delivered.
He delivered it.
So, kudos to the actor.
Yes.
Yes, a little too hard. Yes. But, and there's a moment where he's like massaging her shoulders. I'm like, I feel like I need to tell a grown-up what's happening right now.
I need to tell an adult. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Somebody needed to, because I was just like, and, you know, so, all right, I guess the woman that thought he was going to be his queen, yeah, she's kind of annoying, but that doesn't mean you go for, like, her great-granddaughter. Come on.
Great-granddaughter.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, no, I thought he was...
And she was not particularly likable to Simon, you know? You're just like, oh, it's great that he's going to have a movie away from her. But...
Gosh, yeah, no, that little girl, the princess woman, was just not in this movie. She was just like, oh, well, you want to be in a movie?
Just occasionally.
Can I go with them? Yeah. Like, do I have to be here for this one?
Yeah, like, okay. So I'm in this movie, but do I have to be in it?
Right.
No, and, honey, you
like,
don't.
Like, she was frowning any time that she wasn't on camera, and you could see it in every time that she was.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was very hard to look at her and just be like, oh, honey, you don't want to be there. I see.
She only gets brought in every so often to just make us feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And mission accomplished, by the way.
Good job.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the jokes. You know, these are two episodes. I didn't have to look anything up, by the way.
Ooh, nice.
So we can get to that if you have any.
In this one, I had one.
Okay, what was it?
It was Krylon, which I had to look up, which was is like a type of paint.
You know what? I guess if I'd heard that one, I would have looked it
and
up too.
I think there's probably like a cultural context to Krylon, like that they said, I smell, because it was in the context of, I smell Krylon.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means. Or if maybe huffing paint is the.
That makes sense. Saying. Yeah. The kids might enjoy huffing some paint or sniffing some airplane glue.
So. Joke that I kind of went over my head.
I think I thought it was a Cylon reference.
Oh.
So I just didn't.
And you're totally up on the Cylon.
And I smelled Cylons at that moment. Mm. They were coming. So
that all made sense.
Yeah. Some great jokes, though. Some shout outs to other fine works. So a good chunk of Napoleon Dynamite riffs. There was an Avoid the Noid reference, which is...
Yes, he ruins pizzas.
He does ruin pizzas.
Yeah.
You know? Which, by the way, he doesn't ruin Domino's pizzas anymore. They do that themselves. Thank you. That's a cheap shot at Domino's there. I looked up to see if anyone was in the chat, and I don't think they are. But if you're watching right now, chat with us, even to say, hi, I'm chatting. That's
even
fine.
Even if you're Domino's, come on in the chat.
Or
I like you, even if Christian doesn't.
If you're Papa John and you want to thank me for bad-mouthing Domino's,
true.
That's fine.
Papa John Misty.
Yeah, whatever you want. There were a lot of good jokes. This is the one that
my favorite was, was just the phrasing of
word
in this movie.
Yeah,
it was all of the things. This made me really laugh.
Yeah.
I love the two musical sequences. The two musical things that I wrote down were The Magic Inside of You. That was really silly.
That
and fun.
Was fantastic.
And Par for the Core. I laughed.
Par for the Core was also very good. Yeah.
Very silly. Good.
There were some good musical references. There was just the idea that Core was a drunk. Just a lot of lines like, well, I don't know, but I traded Gulfax for this canteen full of Zima, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't go wrong there. Him giving advice to Simon, which is, kid, a girlfriend is just an ex-wife in the making. You feel like Core would give this knowledge.
That was a good one.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Andrew?
Oh, I was just going to say I really enjoyed the mauve lavender fight where they fight over the color.
That was actually very funny. And the writers are coming in, and then of course the gang,
the writers, they'll fix everything.
Yeah. The one that got me the most, though, was this was a close-up of Gullfax. He looked like he was sleeping, but he's making weird grunting noises. He was laying down. And puberty blooms for Snuggles, the fabric softener. I like that so much, I actually filmed it and sent it to a friend of mine I knew would appreciate it. And I hope Snuggles, the fabric softener bear, is doing well. I haven't seen him in a while, but, you know.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you. I really loved like beef water, just certain like weird phrases they threw out there.
Which, by the way, they found the dirtiest river and waterfall in all of creation. I guess it's red, but it just looked filthy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say my other joke that I thought was specifically for me in this one was the Santa Fe reference from Newsies. I was like,
yes,
you got me.
I liked the Newsies chunk that they had there.
Very good.
The as I alluded to in the intro, there was a great run of Crypt Keeper impressions.
Yes.
There were so.
Oh, I
many,
wrote that down too.
You know, Suicide Cavern. People are dying to get in here, and of course, stalagmites. I love the Crypt Keeper, and I hope he's doing well too.
Yeah,
maybe he shares a walk-up apartment with Snuggles, a fabric softener.
I like to imagine.
Yeah, because you know, I just hope so.
Yeah. They always fight about the dishes. No, I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought this was really silly and fun. I love that embarrassing death sequence we got at the end there.
Oh,
the really embarrassing death. Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. It's still embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Yeah.
Snagglepuss. Simon was, I don't know, he should be, I thought that again, it's the same thing comparing the two movies.
Yeah.
You watch this and I'm like, man, this kid is so bad. He's so unlikable. Then you get the kid in the second movie, yeah, and you're like, Simon, Simon, please come back.
Simon, yeah.
Yeah, I missed Simon. It made me very fond for Simon.
This other kid was worse.
That other kid was a lot worse.
Yeah, let's start talking about that kid.
Oh, should
we? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm just making sure that I had some other things.
Totally.
When we talked about the Dirty Waterfall, there was a joke that it was the runoff from Wonka's Chocolate Factory, which I thought was funny. And a great observation. Is it weird that the Cyclops is the most sympathetic character?
Yes.
He just wanted somebody to marry his sister.
Yeah,
and he knew that that wouldn't be easy to do.
I also really enjoyed at the very beginning the monk chant of Bird is the Word.
Oh, yes. I did write that down.
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio's Assemble. Was also a great Macchio. There's a lot of Macchio stuff.
This she's turning into a real child bridezilla. I thought was quite good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Child bridezilla was one that I wrote down. And in terms of the host segments, there was the Suicide Cave ghost playset, which I thought was fun. I love when they have the little models and things
The
toys that they can play with from the movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And is this one that they have the pop up book? No, it's the next
one
that they have a pop-up book. But I love the pop-up book so much, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But when that pops up, I was just like, man, someone made that. That's so rad.
I mean,
this show is so
probably
full of fun, rad things people
probably
totally
a
made.
Team of people spent many days on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Let's see.
I would love to see like an art book of
There was before we move on to the other episode, we should talk about the invention exchange. In this episode were the verbal smoke bombs, which could be very useful.
Very fun.
And the sponsor clock, which of course both 7 and 11 were for 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was cute. See, these are very practical things.
Totally.
You know, that can be used. And we see that they have some seeds of like storylines running through, one of which we'll talk about in the next episode. But you know, Max has this giant key and you know it unlocks this
Something.
Some like gypsy-like critter that came down from the ceiling but was not gypsy. So it's like, and I just feel like, I guess because it's a Netflix show, they want you to feel like, I need to see the next one. Because as we've talked about, that was kind of a note from the Sci-Fi Channel when they brought the show back after Comedy Central canceled it. Is that they wanted to have things running through it because you want people to tune in. Because really, the show was very standalone.
Right.
For the first incarnation,
Evergreen,
the first seven seasons. Basically, I guess, except for like some episodes, if you watch them out of order, sometimes Joel's there, sometimes Mike's there. That's the one, that's the clear delineation. But other than that, it was really just self-contained. And sometimes there'd be references to earlier characters from other movies and things like that. But Netflix is, I guess, they know what they're up to.
Yeah.
They're sneaky good. They're going to have you run through the whole thing.
Yeah, keeping that sneaky through line.
And of course, they did call attention to the fact that James Horner, the great film composer who worked with James Cameron many times, also scored Wizards of the Lost Kingdom, which I'm going to just assume that it hadn't come out. And, you know, but there were actually a couple moments where I'm like, this scene is surprisingly well scored. Anyway, so when we thought that we'd had all the Wizards of Lost Kingdoms we could handle, we got a second one, didn't we?
We got another one.
Yeah.
And this one was worse. Now, we did start out with Space Rain.
Enjoy the Space Rain.
I love the Space Rain. I thought about wearing a tank top and saying that it was just a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day in space.
Jesus the Teenage Years.
Yes.
We got a lot of really good stuff in this episode. I felt like this one was... That said, though, they advertised David Carradine up front. And he is probably in 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's in like 3 minutes, and then he's in 7 minutes much later.
Right, exactly.
So it's probably one of those things that is
a little disappointing.
His quote was, "I get X amount for a week's worth of work."
Right,
you know?
and
they're like, "Oh well, we'll put David Carradine in. How can the movie possibly fail?"
Yeah.
And you know, David Carradine's not like a fine actor with a distinguished body of work, but you still feel bad that he's in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel more bad that I had to watch it.
Oh man.
Yeah, but since we mentioned the invention exchange for the previous episode. Let's talk about the GIF or GIF notes. They say GIF notes because it rhymes with Cliff Notes, and I know a lot of people say that word GIF. I think that's true. Cliff Notes, you know, that give you the summaries of famous works of literature, they're too long.
Yeah.
You just need the emojis that tell you the stories.
That's all you need.
And, of course, the punt bunnies, which Max reluctantly,
very reluctantly,
punted. And she's like, no, but they like it. But still kicking a little bunny.
Yeah.
Obviously, King of no problem.
And they do scream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Little screamers.
They definitely do. Anyway, so I always like to highlight the invention exchanges because this is another example. Like you're talking about the pop-up books. People have to make those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have to make all those things. So that's where the Kickstarter money went, I think. You know, is
into all making the all the little bits. Yeah.
So, yeah, there were some funny moments very early in this movie, like the kid's mother, and his name is not Tyre, but it sounds like Tyre. I feel like his name is Tyre, T-Y-R-E.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of jokes about his mother's, like, if I had eyebrows, I'd raise them right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, he has the worst haircut that you've seen, so young Pete Rose is not impressed. And Emo Phillips leaves home, so there's a lot of good things like that. And they do say, within the first few minutes, they say the same thing that I realize now so badly. I never thought I'd miss Cor and Simon this
badly. Yeah, exactly. I said the same thing.
I even miss Colfax.
A little bit.
Just a little. Not as much. But yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, Cor and Simon, you feel like you can watch them through a movie. But as they allude to, there's like little snippets of what was clearly a different movie.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. Odd costume changes for the one female character,
yes.
Having a fight with none of the other characters. And
yeah, there's also, yeah, the three villains are very ununified.
Yeah, and you have the guy with the mullet who basically helps out in the first act and then shows up in like the final 8
He's
minutes.
He's like the Gandalf character, yeah, I guess.
I guess, but it's like, you don't even... why explain
Go on
things?
This quest.
Yeah,
See
why explain
later.
Things? Because it'll slow everyone down.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but
there's a lot of weird shots in this movie. I just thought it was like someone, like maybe they gave them the direct, like the camera, and were like, "Go play," you know, like that Mr. Robinson shot that
yeah.
was in there that like never really paid off. Like
no.
it kind of showed up later.
Yeah,
like they're like, "Oh, look, here's his leg," and they don't see it. Don't worry about it.
I guess Carradine, you know, he just felt like, I'm going to do this movie, but I'm not wearing pants. Whatever you say, David,
yeah.
No problem. No problem, Kung Fu, whatever
yeah.
you want.
I'm free-falling.
The character of his wife...
It was very...
A little anachronistic. There's jokes about how she's on her way to a Whitesnake concert and
yep.
things like that. She's a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And, you
Getting
know...
that money.
There's some intentional upskirts in this movie, which
yep.
I guess that was probably why she's there.
Yep.
Ye Old Coyote Ugly is something that they reference there, which I thought was funny. And we see the Dark Ones, you know, that's his little bar that he runs. And he's like, no, I can't help you on your quest. Business is too good.
Oh, man.
That's a guy that they want us to feel endeared towards later in the movie.
Yeah.
A guy who doesn't go on the quest because he's making too much money.
Yeah.
And by the way, it does not look like he's making that much money.
Yep.
He's just, you know, I guess he is because he threatens people.
And he probably looted the body of the guy he threw the knife into. He's
well,
like, that guy's stuff is mine now.
I hope you all realize. That guy doesn't need it anymore.
Right, exactly.
But that did lead to a great segment with Jonah and the robots.
Ooh, I love the Dark Ones.
Renaissance Inn and Grill franchise. And
I would open one.
Yeah. Oh, there were some great tips for how to open the franchise. And I like when King and Max play along with the bits, even though, you
yeah.
know, they hate them and they like
right.
to torture them. Really, let's be honest. Like, you feel like Max likes them a lot, actually.
Right. Oh,
you know?
Yeah. He's actually, yeah, that's his
I mean,
flaw,
he's
too.
Like almost let them down a couple of times. Like, and by let them down, I mean bring them back down to Earth, just or
right.
the moon a couple of times. But anyway, I don't know. I love skits. I love skits based on the movie. And, you know,
that was a good one.
Yeah. And they just do such a good job of pointing out how bad some things are. You know, it's, you know, Master, I hear girls. And then their response is, I don't care, I'm a stuntman. Because very clearly that is not the guy, the magician guy. Again,
yeah.
Character name, I could have rewound and tried to pick up what it was, but
nope.
I just couldn't. I'm a sucker for... The 80s, well, he's still around, but the guy who was popular in the 80s, Russian comedian Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, of course.
So there's a joke, in Lost Kingdom, Ham Spiral cuts you!
Yep.
Great.
That
Love that.
Great.
They pulled off the Dirty Dancing lift was one of those moments because it was a jump during the fight. This was sort of during that, you know, that prison break.
Yeah.
That, you know, the jail cell was not locked.
Right.
With these three girl characters that we do not see again later.
Nope.
And
who kissed the one guy, the weird hero guy?
Yeah,
and like there's a whole story there. There's got to be, and the boy is really bothered by it. Is this what makes a hero? I think is what he says.
Yeah,
is this what a hero is made of? Or what? It's just very like, oh god, this is like very formative for this character. And we're really shrugging it.
Now they make a great point during that segment, though, is because they say even if you admit that it's a guy, it's two guys in painter's clothes and rubber masks. Where are you going to see this again? And it's true. Those two. That beasts fight. Fighting. I'm that's fine. You know,
fun, silly, good times.
Yeah, exactly. When he kisses the three girls.
Yeah,
they're the two of them. You know, very pretty. And then he goes to the third one, and then I think Jonah says, "And you're the generic brand," which is nice because it's mean. And you know, look, mean gets me through movies like this. There's another shout out to Tor Johnson from The Corpse Vanishes. The same line, "Time for go to bed," which I appreciated.
That was funny.
That was funny,
even not knowing that's a reference.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's always funny. There was one that I liked, which was, I don't know which of the bad guys this was, but kneel before Chocula, because he definitely looked like Count Chocula. Did.
I loved the Black Rose. Ooh, that's the worst new window. I loved the Brian Doyle Murray as Susan Sontag.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Please don't say Grand Wizard. Like, absolutely. Don't laugh, he has godlike powers.
Yeah.
And I also, my favorite joke though, overhand and overhand. Yeah. What about my overhand? And try my overhand and just,
And he's like, I'm going to surprise you with my overhand. I love that kind of play by play.
Yeah.
There was a good moment. I actually didn't write down exactly what it was. It was like, that's the least special effect ever. Not really obscure reference if you're old like me, but less common for the younger set.
Try me.
Was the voice of God, and Jonah said Orson, which is, of course, at the end of every episode of Mork and Mindy, he would talk to Orson from Ork, and that was just sort of it made me laugh because I love Robin Williams, but I had not thought about Mork and Mindy in quite a while, actually. Yeah. They had a good, there was a really bad joke that the kid made who we're just calling Tyre at this point.
Yeah,
and they followed up with, like a CSI Miami opening, which I'm a huge fan. And I'm going to just assume everyone has seen those compilations on YouTube. They're like 10 minutes of David Caruso from the beginning. That's like, and he puts on the sunglasses at the end of it. You know, it's like,
so good.
Well, I guess you could say. Surfs up, and then it's like, I don't you're not even at the beach, David. What is that? It doesn't matter.
It's great, though.
Yeah, exactly. So the comedy that's supposed to come at the elder wizard, the bad wizard.
Yeah.
You know, we're turning things into chickens. He sets his posterior on fire.
Mm-hmm. I did actually kind of enjoy the turning things into chicken thing. Okay. He's not good at it, but he does teach the boy to do it, and that like turns into a plot point later. He turned my crystal ball into a chicken. Like, if that were in a different movie, that would be hilarious.
Yes,
like,
that's true.
That would be genius.
But in this movie, it just managed to annoy me. Yeah.
I get that.
And I like when Tyre just said, "You're a ham scented marshmallow." Well, he didn't actually say it, but they put that in his mouth. And hark, a warrior fresh from her stylist. And she was very well coiffed.
Very well coiffed.
And then she's the one who goes into the fight sequence that is clearly not from this movie, but then.
Right.
You know, and
totally different outfit we never really see again.
Yeah. No explanation. I mean, you feel like those kind of explanations are not that difficult. But then when you think about how they don't explain things in the Transformer movies that don't make sense in the present day, clearly they're just like, you know, this is that much longer ago. They're like, well, look, they don't explain things now. So it's fine. Yeah. A couple of favorites were The Adventures of Warrior Princess, Teenager, and Blues Traveler.
I like that.
Because
one too.
The wizard definitely looked like John Popper. What's to eat? Anything you can catch. Does lupus count?
Murp, murp.
Yeah. It's like if the Hunger Games were set in the medieval 80s.
I like that one too.
Soft Focus Rambo.
I wrote down Soft Focus.
Soft Focus Rambo was great.
Oh,
and
so funny.
We got a couple of Mortal Kombat references in the two movies. But this one referred to the Sub-Zero family reunion. I think the first movie, like within seconds, we get the fight, you know.
Yeah.
It was a Scorpion Sub-Zero fight. So it's great. I like that, you know, I feel like their writing staff, you know, sort of goes from the the millennial to the even older than me, and considering that I know who some of the people are in the writing staff. Yeah. And that way you can get the references. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you know who Maynard G. Krebs is? That was a reference in there.
Oh, I missed that one.
So that is a character on The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, which is a black and white sitcom. Yeah, yeah. See, didn't even know it was a joke. That's how obscure it was.
My head, yeah.
Played by Bob Denver, who was also Gilligan on Gilligan's Island. And he was a TV-friendly beatnik.
Okay.
You know, didn't do any drugs, but he was scared of work. So he had like a very scraggly little
goatee.
Well, like he was, you know what? Imagine Shaggy from Scooby-Doo as a person.
Okay.
And you have Maynard G. Krebs.
Okay.
Probably where Shaggy came from, where they're like, yeah, let's just draw Maynard and put him in a green shirt.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's way before my time, but it was on like, you know, when Nick at Night still showed pretty much all black and white shows before they... You know, before back when the world was still in black and white, and that's all Nick at Night had. So I like that they have those. I like that there's Mortal Kombat references. Yeah. And the occasional reference that I have to look up, you're like, oh, I knew what that was because I'm not old.
Well, my favorite two jokes in this one actually were just like not even really like references. They were just really awesome, fun jokes. The ropes of convenience.
Yes,
the ropes of convenience. That was so silly and fun. And there was a refill joke that was made early on that I loved apparently because I put hearts all around refill.
Yeah.
Can I get a refill? Oh, it was, can I get a refill? That was being said. Oh, it was the guy who she was dancing, and there's this guy holding, like, smiling, but also holding his cup. And they just kept going, can I get a refill? Ma'am? Ma'am? Can I get a refill? Ma'am? Ma'am? Yeah. Ma'am? Can I get a, ma'am?
And a joke that has been used before, and I believe it was used in the original series, a guy who gets shot with the arrow, message for you, sire, from Monty Python, so yeah. I appreciate that. A guy who dies that looks like Sacha Baron Cohen. My wife!
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Just
so
a biting commentary on the production. This was made in the day before talent or staging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this was, I think, where we got the pop-up book, because they try to explain... You know, Jonah tries to explain that, you know, this was wizard-based comedy of the 80s. Actually, this is a different... This is not... I don't think this was the pop-up
book. It was. You might be a crummy wizard.
If. Yeah, which I thought was very funny.
Oh,
it was
so funny. Yeah. I don't remember the Jeff Foxworthy joke wizard name, but it was very funny.
Yeah. No. Caveman... Oh, that's... I think this guy's name is like Caveman... I don't know. Caveman Worth a Fox was the...
Sure. Yeah, yep, that was... Sounds correct.
But I forget what the... I thought I wrote down the wizard's name, too, from the... But, you know, again, I didn't care. And then, of course...
Do you remember that banana bit where he creates a banana and they're like, oh, I don't know what that is. Don't eat it.
Yeah, don't eat it.
Yeah. I hated that so much.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Yeah.
There was another moment where I was like, oh, what a great joke you could have had. You set up yourself so well and then pooped on your own joke.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I love the corny jokes. Something about how gauche it was and...
Oh,
I ain't afraid of no gauche.
I ain't afraid of no gauche.
And then, of course, whoops, stab, blood, dead, roll credits. But unfortunately, that was not what happened, you know. And shout out to Airplane. I picked the wrong week to quit sacrificing the ball.
Yeah, yeah, that was very fun.
Yeah, he's a living Andrew Dice Clay joke. He was not a very likable character.
Yeah.
The Chilean miners are saved. There's a lot of these. disappearing through the wall. This was a funny one. Seacrest out.
Yep.
Yep.
I really like the All Dad Julius Caesar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The All Dad Julius. Quiet Jesse Spano. So again, that's a Saved by the Bell reference. This was a obscure one that I really liked. You guys smash these pots in case they have rupees or hearts.
Yeah.
The Indiana Jones. Video game. Wait. What are you?
Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda. Oh yeah. It's Legend of Zelda. Yeah. Oh man.
Could also be Indiana Jones.
No. I was thinking. I'm like. Could I knew that was a video game that I played a lot. But you're right. It is because the rupees. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. But I knew it was a video game.
Yeah, old man. Yeah, jeez.
I old man myself. I was remembering the Indiana Jones arcade game.
But... I know. Are you ready to get real nerdy on me? Oh, there was actually an Indiana Jones arcade game in 87.
I think there... I don't know when it was, but I do remember playing
it. I know. I'm just making a character review that has tiny glasses on the corner of his nose.
I wish I had the Ben Franklin glasses, right?
Yeah, hold on now.
Hello, my good man.
Hello. I'm quite old.
Big fight scene, the... what's in your wallet? Because of the... yeah, the... Obviously, those commercials have all those.
Mm-hmm.
The protector, but who's protecting you? Life alert? anyway, I mean, look, I love all these, and we'll probably get to some more jokes, but we had another host segment where, again, we get to see Pearl Forrester, Kinga's grandma, and Bobo.
They pop in.
Professor Bobo and Brain Guy. Once again, we get to see them, you know, accidentally. They did not intend to visit and say hi. But it's great. And then this is sort of what we were talking about. Not even sort of. This is exactly what we were talking about earlier, where they're building this storyline that Kinga's going to marry Jonah because it's good for ratings, even though they don't have ratings, which Max explains.
Yeah.
You know, which I think it is actually happening for a different reason than the one that they're pretending it is. It's not for ratings. It's just like, well, we just want people to watch all 14 episodes, you know, which is fine.
And also
you know?
Fun.
Yeah. It's not the way she imagined her betrothal. One thing is it's not to a new kid on the block. See? So Kinga has she had a soul at one point, but not anymore.
Yeah. You can't marry what was it called? A henchman.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But there was a good. A little good social commentary in there. You know, King is trying to figure out who she should marry. He's like, well, I could marry one of the robots. And then Brain Guy's like,
no, actually,
so yeah, Max says that's not legal. And the Brain Guy says, and they call this the not too distant future.
Yeah.
Very funny. I don't
boom,
know.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was not the end of the movie, but, you know, it's... Oh, I did. Yeah, this was. But then
but it was the end of our attention.
It's the end of our attention span. No, but then the first act warrior returns. I'm like, yeah, exactly. No explanation. He's like, oh, I'm here now.
I'll help out and also make out with that.
And it's
lady
also when Carradine shows up. He's like, okay, I'm ready to fight
help
now.
Too.
And they got a lot of jokes from his anachronistic wife, the dancer. Yep. Can't believe I quit the Bengals for this, which is very funny.
He just kind of throws her over his shoulder and like, I'm going to take this.
Yeah. There was a good running gag when they would look in the cauldron and it would flash a little face and they kept singing from Enter Sandman because of the video. Rosé Bud with the wine. I have five asterisks next to that. That's why I wanted to make sure I read it.
Good.
You know?
Good.
Yeah.
And you did.
We get to a moment in the movie where they're building up like, no, I can't kill him. No, I can't kill him. No, I can't kill him. Okay, I'm going to kill him. And it's like, did you almost run out of film in the camera and you're like, I don't know what, all right, just kill him, you know?
Yeah, the turn is immediate.
Yeah, it's just like, that's fine. But reference back to a more fun movie, now he can use the amulet to contact Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Cry wilderness.
Finally.
Yeah,
finally. Oh, no, my shrinky dink. Yeah, that was like a lot of the little props and stuff were so silly and terrible too.
And they say that he's like Moses the Vegas years. Let my pizza go. Because he's, and all hail King A.C. Slater. And then the final thing that I'll mention is they talk about the sponsors that this movie, because of all the chickens, was the sponsors of the Chicken of Tomorrow, which was a short in an old Mystery Science Theater episode was about the Chicken of Tomorrow.
Hmm.
The very end of the movie, you know, they always have the little stinger.
Yes.
And I'm saving this for last because it was disturbing, frightening, completely unnecessary when he decides that he's going to grow a muscle.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that, but it's the way David Carradine's like, nice.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's so
it somehow weird. That second was more uncomfortable than all of the other instances in the first movie with the old wizard pawing over the, you know, the girl who was an extra in Degrassi Junior High.
Yes.
You know? So
you're completely correct.
Yeah. I don't know.
And his weird one man muscle on his little boy body. Ugh, that's so gross and strange.
But very helpful at the end of the movie that we got them suggesting. They suggested us good movies that'll help improve your mood, which seemed to be a little bit more difficult as it went on. But I can't believe that when it was all done, like we said, I was just longing for Wizards
Simon
of the Lost Kingdom.
Yeah, no, I'll say it because I saw both of these movies twice now. I enjoyed them. They were
so watching the second one. I guess because you know the expectation and you're able to. But I think I watched them both yesterday back to back, which I think was a mistake, by the way.
So here is like a writer of stories like this, because I'm like a giant D&D nerd. I don't know if y'all know this about me. Get at me about that D&D.
I know you have something coming up if you want to mention it.
We'll talk about it at the end. Yeah, I'm a big D&D nerd, so these stories are my bread and butter. So I was happy jumping in and happy to like laugh at how goofy they were, which is also why I was so excited about the like idea of like, oh yeah, you can turn whatever you want into like a chicken. Like a fried chicken. Like boom.
So if indeed D&D, like what role would it take to turn something
into
a chicken?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Well, see, you can pose it.
I'm going to have to, I'll get back to you on this one, but I know that there's an answer.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be prestidigitation because it'd probably be some sort of transmutation spell, but I'll get back to you on this because there is an answer. In any case, so I thought that the second story, I really enjoyed the relate, like
the idea of the relationship, less so the actual relationship, with fat old failed wizard and
which is his name,
and crappy boy.
Crappy boy. Yeah.
But I also appreciate, and I thought that like it's a much more standard issue story of like kind of disgraced disgraced hero and bright young idealist boy. That one was a lot more like, oh yeah, no, that's all stories. That's like that's Star Wars. That's all.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they even point out it's like, oh, so this is Star Wars. Yeah.
Exactly. And so in this one, we have a lot like in like we get at the very end, we have all of these extra players, and like it kind of almost wanted to be like a Lord of the Ringsian large world, but they only gave him an hour and a half to do the movie.
Right.
So they had a lot of the battles where we didn't see stuff happen. We have three villains that have to be killed for no reason. It's very like, ooh, there's a big world here that we maybe had.
But yeah, like that's something you do in a trilogy of books. Yeah. You know, you get to each bad guy, which, by the way, you mentioned Lord of the Rings. That was a reference that I wrote down. I wanted to save for the end because it sums it up for both of them. It's like the Lord of the Rings without all the fancy good stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what these movies are. But yeah, no, look, I can see the appreciation. Yeah. I'm not a big fantasy guy. It's not my favorite. I've seen the Lord of the Rings movies once. I enjoyed them once.
Sure. And that's as many times as you need to enjoy them, really.
Really, yeah, because you need to take a week off of work to watch them again.
But they're great, and if you watch the extended versions, they are delightful in an extra way that you don't quite get from
obviously we're way off topic, but that's all right, because we have time. When the Hobbit trilogy came out, I had two reactions. One, that's the shortest book, and he turned it into three movies.
Oh, yeah.
Mistake.
It's very frustrating.
I watched the first one, and I didn't see any more because what I liked was the half hour where it's Bilbo and Gollum playing word games together. I'm like, I would watch 2 hours of that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want any of the other stuff. I didn't need the tree people. I love that interaction. From the old animated version of The Hobbit, which I assume you've seen at some point in your life.
Yes.
I own it. As a kid. VHS. Of course on VHS.
Yeah.
Because it actually brings out the quality. Mm-hmm. By the way, Orson Bean, who was the voice of Bilbo, or was he Frodo? Anyway, good friend of mine, an older actor. I know him quite well. And
how fun.
Yeah. But anyway, I love that animated movie, and I would see that as a kid. That was my familiarity with The Hobbit until I read until I read it in fifth grade. I was like, oh, I love that movie. I feel like, you know, those movies do a good job, the animated ones.
Yeah. I actually didn't really like the live-action ones very much. I thought Martin Freeman was a little bit of a choice because he's a very jaded character actor.
He's great in the British Office.
Yeah. And he's delightful in Sherlock. He's delightful in everything he's in. I like him in all of the, like, you know, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and all of those. I don't know if he's in Shaun of the Dead. He might be.
There's like a cameo where they run into him and I think a couple other people that are like.
Yeah, he has a lot of bits in those Edgar Wright movies. But in any case, I think he's a delightful actor. But I just was like, oh no, you're not an idealistic like.
Yeah,
there are daughtery bits where I'm like, you're selling it, but
he's more the Hobbit that, you know, doesn't want to go out on the road, but then somehow gets like kidnapped or dragged out onto the expedition. But anyway. Sorry, Martin Freeman.
Hashtag not my Hobbit. Right?
I know Martin Freeman's a fan, and he's probably crying right now, so we're sorry.
Sorry, Martin. Sorry. But when I direct the version with you, all right.
Without you.
In 20 years. You can come back.
Anyway, so, yeah. The Lord of the Rings without all the fancy good stuff. Yeah. Star Wars without all the fancy good stuff. This is,
And that said, this the second one is a larger movie. Clearly a larger movie. And obviously they slapped on the Wizards of the Lost World
Kingdom
title.
What's funny, because when I wrote out the titles, I actually wrote out Wizards of the Lost World. I'm like,
god, that would be a better movie with dinosaurs.
Even like badly, you know, like T-Rexodon. Claymation dinosaurs. That's fine.
I'd watch that.
Yeah,
I'm writing it down. Dinosaur Wizards.
You know, we could talk about these movies more, but we will not.
No,
and
we refuse.
Next week we have a regular episode where we're going to watch the episodes 11, 12, and 11, 13, and we'll make an announcement about our final episode of this season.
We sure will.
We'll announce next week, though, so you have to tune in because we won't tweet it. You know, even if you follow us at MST3KABTV. Why would we let you know more about it? But anyway, Andrew, before we wrap it all up, talk a little bit about what you're working on. We talked about D&D briefly.
I'm working on this rad new podcast called Welcome to the Dungeon Hole. And it's all about, it's a D&D fantasy adventure. It's high narrative. So we have a couple, four intrepid adventurers trying to go on
a fantasy adventure. So if you're into D&D,
it's like D&D style storytelling.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. Yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, D&D storytelling with a couple goofball kind of sketch comedy people, it's very fun, and we have a lot of fun making it, so join us, won't you? It should be premiering in the next couple weeks.
And if they want to find out about it, where do they go?
Go on to Twitter to @DungeonHole. That's all one word. We got Dungeon Hole.
So. And also you, @AndrewMena.
@AndrewMena. That's where you can find me, and I'll be updating all the
You tweet it, I'll retweet it, even though I'm not involved. I will still support you.
We'll have to find a way to get you involved, I guess.
Yeah. That's true. Right. I'm Christian Blatt @ChristianDMZ. And like I said, @MST3K, make sure that you follow us there because we'll be giving you all sorts of information and bonus goodies. But for now, we will see you next Friday. We're left with only one more thing to do, the thing I forgot to do last week. Push the button, Andrew.
All right. Bye, guys.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Capsule!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.